First Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 9, let's start with verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. He's talking to us believers. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You cannot imagine. We do not know. It's never even entered in our mind or our heart the things that God prepares for us. Amen. In verse 9, I want you to look at the last part of that verse. Now, he says in this passage of Scripture, the wisdom we speak is not of this world. And they can't understand about us. It's a mystery. We didn't understand it until we were born again. We didn't understand it. 1 Corinthians 2:19 says, 2:14 says, for the natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit, for they're spiritually discerned. That means understood or figured out. Until you're born again, Ephesians 2 says, ye who were dead in trespasses and sin. And you can't understand spiritual things until you have a new birth. Amen. And then those mysteries, he begins to open up the mysteries of salvation, the mysteries of the Bible. And so he says that, and then he says, but even with us, no one, eye hath not seen, ear has not heard, it hasn't even entered into the heart of any of mankind what God hath for us, what he has in store. Now, most of the time you read that, you think, well, he's talking about heaven. No, no, not just heaven. Even in this life. Brother Skeet, we do not know one day from another the great things that God has got in store for us. In adult Sunday school, you ought to have been here. We talked about Joseph being in jail all those years, and God was preparing Egypt and was preparing that great, mighty Pharaoh to take that little Joseph and make him second in command over the most powerful nation on planet Earth. Brought him out of jail and put him on the throne immediately, just like that. Joseph never had an idea, never entered into his mind what God had in store for him and what God was going to do. He was just being faithful where he was and being faithful with what he had to do, and we ought to be the same way. You don't know what God might do with one of these children in their life. Amen. Now, we're not just talking about getting saved and going to heaven. We're talking about the great things that God has in store you never know. Amen? And listen, you say, well, I'm 75 years old. It's too late for me. You don't know what God's got at 76. I saw a 90-year-old man, blind man, get saved. 90-year-old blind man walk down the aisle weeping and crying. And Brother Skeet, he was in the nursing home. And the man walked down the aisle, tears just pouring off his cheeks. And listen, that day they sang the song, I Saw the Light. He lifted up his hands. Amen. Blind, born blind, never seen a sunrise. And that day at 90 years old, he got born again. I had not seen, it hadn't even entered in your heart. You've never heard what God can do in your life or anybody else's life. We write people off too quick. We write ourselves off too quick. I go to the hospital, people say, well, there ain't much hope for that. And I said, as long as there's breath, there's hope. Yeah, amen. My mama, three times, they said, we just need to let her die. Quit feeding her, quit giving her water, just let her die. So I'm not ready for my mama to die. And three times, God brought her back. Three times. She's alive and well. And she may have dementia, and all she has is good memories. All she has is good memories. She don't have any bad memories. And look, you don't know, Brother Billy, who you're singing to at the nursing home. You don't know who you're singing to at the nursing home. Had a bunch of them come down the aisle today, weeping and crying, had a room full. You don't know what's going to happen from one day to the next. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, and it's not entered into the heart of man the great things God might do in your life or our lives. He's got it prepared. Look at the last part of that verse. That God, which God had prepared for them that love Him. There's only one condition. You got to love Him. You got to love Him. And Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and my commandments are not grievous. If you love somebody, you'll do right for them. Amen. And so He's talking to saved people. And I got thinking about that. There's nothing that happens accidentally with God. Everything, listen to this. Read Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. That's a deep book. Before the foundation of the world was ever laid, God had a plan. He had a plan for all mankind. He had a plan for His Son. He had a plan for His church. And He had a plan for you individually. Before the world was ever formed, before God ever walked out there and spoken into existence, God already knew you. God, He said, I knew you before you were ever formed in your mother's womb. I knew you. And before the sun was hung in outer space and the stars were hung out there, God already had a plan. He'd already prepared everything. And all we have to do, are you listening? Just trust Him. That's all we got to do. And God's prepared some things. And I got thinking about that. We live so haphazardly. From day to day, we get up. Y'all young people, listen to me. The Bible says, redeeming the time. Some of you young people just waste your day after day after day, and they get up and haphazardly live, and they never think about tomorrow. I was the same way when I was young. I thought I was going to live forever. I thought I was invincible. I thought I'd never get sick. I certainly never thought I'd see the man that I look at now in the mirror. I didn't think I'd live long enough to get this old. Amen? I figured I better get it while I get it because everybody I knew was dying. I never knew I'd live this long. And certainly my mama didn't, 97 years old. 97 years old. Can you imagine that? Now, let me tell you something. We haphazardly live our lives when God's got a plan and we live just whatever happens, let it happen, you know. But that's not God. God's not like that. God's very organized. God is sovereign. He's in the affairs of man. He's in your life, whether you recognize Him or not. Amen. That time you got stalled in traffic, that was God maybe saving your life from a wreck up the road. Right up here the other day, some people got killed because of a guy running from the law. Amen? Y'all remember that? That could have been you. Right up here in Shelby, just the other day, one of our friends, a policeman, got shot. And he's hanging on for dear life now. And they're praying that he'll be able to live and not have brain damage, all this stuff. And the day before, he went to work, never thought about it. And somebody just shot him. We never know. We live haphazardly, and God's got a plan. And let me tell you something. Listen, it's going to shock some of you when I say this. God's got a plan for you, and it's going to shock you when you get there.
Amen. Come on now.
He's already prepared it, and you're on the path headed that way, and the young people don't even know it. And when they get to where that spot is, where He wanted them, He's going to reveal that. And when He reveals it, Brother Skeet, they ain't going to be able to believe it. I didn't. I didn't know He ever saved me. And then after He saved me, I sure, certainly wouldn't have thought He would call me to preach. Amen. I think about as much about my preaching as Skeet does my singing. Amen. But a couple of things I want you to know, and then we'll go eat, okay? He knows what you're going to eat today. It'll be all right. It'll still be there when you get there. Amen. The good thing is you ain't got to pay for it. It's all free. Amen. Here's some things. Number one, God prepared the Word of God. Did you know the only way I know there's a God is the Bible tells me so? Did you know the only way I know there's a heaven is the Bible tells me so? The only way I know there's a hell, the Bible tells me so. The only way I know that good will be rewarded and bad will be judged is because the Bible tells me so. I don't know how anybody could live in this world without believing the Bible the way the things are going on, because there would be no justice. There would be, boy, it would be awful without knowing that God has a plan. 2 Timothy 3:16, if you want to turn there, I'll let you mark it in your Bible. You ought to. 2 Timothy 3:16, and most of you know it, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, that's the same word that it says in Genesis when it says God breathed and He created the earth. God breathed. So God breathed the Word of God. He inspired the Word of God. Look at the rest of that verse. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Matthew 22, Jesus said, He told some folks, He said, ye do err not knowing the Scriptures. Yeah. Now, I know we live in a generation that thinks they're so smart because they got iPhones and iPads and they have computers and they got, if they ever lose their thumbs, they won't know what to do anymore. They'll be totally helpless if you ever lost a thumb. Amen. I see them going down the road doing it. Amen. Sometimes I just want to buy me an old car and run into them. Amen. Forgive me, Lord. I got in the flesh there for a minute. But look, we live in a generation that thinks they are plugged in and hooked in, and boy, they know everything. And us old people, we don't know anything, you know. We're illiterate. We don't know much about the computer, and we don't know about messaging and all this stuff. But I got news for you. I've got the book that was around before the foundation of the world was ever laid. That was already in the mind of God. I have the mind of God right here in this book. Everything God wants me to know about Him and His plan is right here in this book. He doesn't hide it from us. And listen, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost and they wrote that book. God said, write it down. He wrote it down. And let me tell you something. That book was here before you ever got here, and it'll be here when you're dead and gone.
Amen.
That book was here before the Muslim ever raised up his knife and cut somebody's head off. And it'll be here when he's gone too, buddy. That book will be in heaven. We'll be judged by that book. By what's in that book is the way we'll be judged. Amen? And so I know God prepared a book so that we wouldn't have to be in the dark. We can see God's plan, and we can see His creation, and we can see that we're sinners because the book says all have sinned. And we can see that judgment is coming because the wages of sin is death. But we can also see, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All because of that book. We ought to be jumping pews today, thanking God we live in a country that we can still go buy a Bible and read the Bible and quote the Bible and practice the old, old story of Jesus and His love. Well, thank God for that. You're talking about 9/11. A lot of people died for that book. Amen. And so I know God prepared His book. Why? So I can know how to get to heaven. So I can know right from wrong. So I can know how to be blessed or be cursed. So I can know that God has prepared some things for me. Amen? And then another thing He's prepared. I want you to look at Galatians 4:4 real quick. Galatians 4:4. Y'all not listening fast enough? Chicken's getting smelling now. I smell the chicken. Galatians 4:4. They're going out here to fix something for you. Pray for them. Galatians 4:4. Now, everybody don't have to go. Well, good thing I know all them saved. Galatians 4:4, I want you to look at it with me. Mark it in your Bible. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Now, I want you to know that God not only prepared His Word, but He prepared His Son. Before the world was ever created, God already had a plan, and He prepared His Son. And when the time was right, the Bible says, He sent forth His Son.
Yes.
And another verse says to be a propitiation for our sin. In other words, He is our sin payment. He's already paid it. The time came, and God sent His Son, for God so loved the world, that's me and you, that He gave His only begotten Son, that's the Lord Jesus, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, that's die and go to hell, but have everlasting life, that's to live as long as God lives. And God prepared that before man was ever created. And God prepared His Son. And when it was time, His Son took off His royal robes and laid them down on the throne and came. And the Bible says He took on Himself the form of a servant. And He became a humble lamb and was led to the slaughter, lived a sinless life, never said one wrong word, never had one wrong thought, never broke one commandment, and yet He died, and the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. So He died in our place. He was propitiation for our sin. And then whenever He did that, God rose Him from the He rose Himself from the dead, and God wrote, paid in full. And God prepared that before you were ever born. And now you know how you go to heaven? You ask Him to save you, and when you do, you receive eternal life paid in full. The propitiation. He's your sin payment. He died so you wouldn't have to go to hell. He paid for your hell so you wouldn't have to do it. Now, God prepared that plan before He ever made me and you, because in the mind of God, He knew we would sin. And now we're born sinners. That curse is on us. Lady Gaga said, I was born this way. She's right. She was born a sinner just like the rest of us. Amen. She might not have been born that other way, but she was born a sinner. Amen. And we're all sinners. And the wages of sin is death. And God knew you would sin. So God prepared a sacrifice in His Son, Jesus Christ, so that you and I could be saved. Amen. He not only prepared His Word, and we only know that because we've got His Word. And He not only prepared His Son, but I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16. You know, after we finish the service, we'll go eat. And if we left it up to a lot of people, they just haphazardly lived their life. And brother, you know what? Some of them just show up and don't, they never think about, well, should I bring something? Should I bring a little food? You know, they don't think about that. You know why? They're unprepared. But there were some that came today, and some of y'all would shout on this one. They came prepared. They brought food and extra so that we could all eat. And you see, God's a lot smarter than we are. So He prepared His Word, and He prepared His Son. And I want you to look at verse 16, Hebrews chapter 11. In verse 16, He says, but now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. Well, that's good. He prepared His Word so we could know we were sinners and needed a Savior. He prepared His Son to pay for our sins so we would know where to find a Savior. And He's prepared a city so that we can go there when we die. Amen. What did Jesus say in John 14? He said, I'm going to go somewhere you can't go right now. But when I get there, I'm going to prepare a place for you. That where, hey, listen. He said, so you can be where I am. Now, heaven, believe it or not, you don't accidentally go to heaven. Somebody had to die to get your entrance. Somebody had to prepare it and build your mansion. And you better be prepared by believing on Him in order to get in your prepared place. Now, I believe there's a place in heaven for everybody. If you'll go read the Bible, we've been studying the book of Revelation, there are some names blotted out of the book of life. That's not the Lamb's book of life. That wasn't people that were saved and then got lost. It's the book of life. Everybody's name goes in that book of life. God wants everybody to go to heaven. He's prepared a place for everybody to go to heaven. But by receiving His Son, that pays the payment so you can go to heaven. And if you refuse His Son, then that angel, when you get up there, he looks over and he says, blot His name out of the book of life. He rejected my Son, cast Him into outer darkness. He's got a place. There's a place for everybody that's ever been born or ever will be born on planet Earth. And yet, a lot of folks think they just live life. Hey, sirrah, sirrah. And they just act, they make no preparation for death. I've sold a lot of life insurance. You know what? People don't want to talk about it. That's why they call it life insurance, not death insurance. They don't want to talk about it. You go to the doctor, and the doctor says, you got stage 4 cancer. But we're going to fight it. We're going to fight it. No, no. He'll look at you and say, your chances are pretty slim. You better prepare to meet God. I've seen people on their last breath and the doctor stand up there saying, but we're going to beat it. We're going to beat it. No, not unless God intervenes, you're not.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So what you better do is prepare for the worst and pray for the best. But I'm telling you this, you're not going to heaven accidentally. Because when you get up to heaven, they're not ever going to look at you and say, uh-oh, I didn't know he was coming. Somebody run over and build him a mansion. Amen. It was prepared for you ever got there. And the only way you're going to lose it is by not receiving his prepared salvation through his prepared son, because you heard it through the prepared word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So I know there's a prepared place for me. Now I don't know where you grew up at, but I thank God I've got a mansion. Now, I grew up on the south side of Lancaster. And I'm just, it's just grace of God. I'm still alive. I'm one of the few. And I'm going to tell you something. I've been poor. I've been poor. I know what it's like. There ain't but one man in this room can outpour me. Skeet Coat. When he starts talking about being poor, my wife and kids don't like me to talk about my childhood because it makes them cry. And they say, he makes you sad every time he talks about it. I said, you ain't never heard of Brother Skeet? He makes me cry. I'm telling you. Ain't that right, sis? Nobody wants to hear about his childhood. You'll be throwing money at him crying. If that's all he preached, he'd have the biggest church in town. People would be throwing money at him, giving him to shut up. I don't want to hear that. But listen, being poor does not qualify you for heaven. And being rich does not qualify you for heaven. Being educated does. There's some, it shocked y'all. There's some educated people in here. I got a little bit myself. It would shock you. It would. Listen, being cultured will not get you to heaven. That would shock you. There are a few cultured rednecks in here. You know, we got a few cultured people. They know good music and stuff like that. But that won't get you to heaven. You're going to have to prepare.
Amen. That's right.
Because it's a prepared place where his prepared son went. And I know it is because I read it in the prepared word of God. Did you know this generation of our nation, matter of fact, the past two generations of our country, are so in debt that they don't know what it is not to be in debt? Ever since they've started working, they've been in debt. And a lot of them will die in debt. And us old people, my generation of baby boomers, you know, we bought a little Cracker Box house over here, you know, and my first house was right over here on Oconee Avenue. $13,900. $890 square feet. Had one bathroom. And three daughters and a wife. Do you think I ever got to go to the bathroom? There used to be a Hardee's right here at the end of this street. Just about every day I go in there and they say, there goes Mr. Roddy to the bathroom. But I'm going to tell you something. God's been good to me.
Amen.
And it's not because, now I'm debt free because all those years I just kept my word and I paid my debts. But I thank God that there's one debt I couldn't pay, but he paid it for me.
Amen.
And he prepared that before the foundation of the world was ever laid. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't care about that little country song y'all sing. Why is it Tammy Wynette? One year she wrote Stand By Your Man. And the next year she wrote D-I-V-O-R-C-E. So when they sing about that little cabin by the river in heaven, amen. Number one, no, that ain't in the Bible. Number two, I don't want to hear that junk. I want my mansion. Amen. I've had the little cabin. Amen. I've been poor. I want my mansion, bless God. Amen. And listen, it's prepared by Him, and I've accepted it. By receiving His Son, I get to go to heaven. Now, I'd like to say that's the end of the preparation, but it's not. There's another prepared place, Matthew 8:12. You don't hear much about this place, especially in the modern day church, to where they just want to hear smooth things. But listen, if this place didn't exist, who would care if the other place existed? Matthew 8:12. Look at it with me in verse 12. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Luke 16 said there was a rich man. He died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And he cried, and he said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus over here and let him dip the tip of his finger in water and touch my tongue, that he can cool me, for I'm tormented in this flame. I know it's not popular, and I know you may not think it's very educated, but this is the oldest book that you'll get in your house right here. Don't tell me it's not educated. But there's still a hell, and God prepared it. The modern day American, even church member, the modern day American, the modern day church member, they like to think of, and I've used this many times illustration, they like to think of God as old grandpa. You see, me and Skeet's old grandpas, ain't we? I don't whip my grandchildren. I don't. It ain't my job. My job is spoil them. Send them home. Let somebody else take care of the discipline. Amen. And if I'm there, they're about to discipline. I say, just take it easy on them. You know how Grandpa is. And you're supposed to be that way. Now, when I was a father, I wasn't that way. You ask my girls. Ask Tracy. He's back there. I've run his hide out of my yard before. As a father, I wasn't like that. I pulled off on the side of the road before and done some, man, I might could teach you a few things. I pulled off on the side of the road before and got me a hickory switch and whipped my youngins on the way to church. On the side of the road. They put me in jail now. I've whipped other people's youngins at camp. Mom and Dad wasn't there. Somebody had to do it. And if you leave your kids around here and they're bad enough, I'll whip your kids. But Grandpa don't whip anybody. He just hugs and kisses and gives them stuff. And everybody thinks God's like a big old grandpa, and he's soft and he's senile. And one day he's just going to look at all those wicked people and say, they ain't that bad. Just come on in. They couldn't be more wrong. There's a holy God with some holy commandments and a holy place called heaven. And sin will not enter into that place that He's prepared for those that love Him. There's a place called hell that God, the Bible says, prepared for the devil and his angels. And you think you're out of place in church, wait till you get to hell. The devil and his angels ain't a good crowd to be around. This is the friendliest crowd you'll ever be around if you're not saved. This is the easiest place you'll ever be saved right here. If you die and go to that devil's hell, that place was prepared for those who do not love Him. It's that simple. After I got under conviction, started visiting church, I didn't grow up in church. My mama got saved when I was a teenager, and we were so mean, we wouldn't do nothing she said. She wasn't that tall. And I wouldn't go to church. And we were so mean, people wouldn't invite us to church. I had a man show up at my church one day, my other church, him and his wife. They sat close to the front, and the whole time he sat there like this right here. And on the way out, we had a big crowd that day. And on the way out, I shook his hand. I said, where are you from? He said, Lancaster. I said, oh, you're from Lancaster? You still live in Lancaster? Yeah. You know, I thought I met a friend. I said, where you live? He said, off Great Falls Highway. I said, I used to live off Great Falls Highway. He said, I know it. He said, I heard about you, and I just come up here to see for myself. He said, you and that crowd of boys you used to hang around with tormented and tortured and terrorized that neighborhood, including my wife, every night while she was at home by herself and I was at work. Y'all boys terrorized our neighborhood. And I want to tell you something we didn't appreciate, and I come all the way up here to see you. I said, well, thank God he forgives and he forgets. He said, he may do, but I don't. That's exactly what he said. And he left just like that. I mean, wicked, wicked bunch of teenagers. And then after I got under conviction, we visited Eastside Baptist Church. One of my wife's best friends got saved. Patty Martin was her name. And the pastor came to see us. I'd never talked to a pastor or preacher in my life. And this is what I thought. I thought, well, preacher, when I die, God's going to have a scale up there. And he's going to weigh my good with my bad. And I'm a pretty good guy, preacher. I never robbed a bank. I ain't ever killed nobody. I try not to hurt people. I do some things, but I think my good and my bad's going to level out, preacher. He said, son, you're going to die and go to hell. He said, you know how many sins it takes to disqualify you from heaven? One. He said, we've all done that. He said, we can't even keep the first commandment to love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength. We can't even keep that one, so let's don't even go any farther. You have sinned and you need to be saved. Because God, listen, God has prepared a place for those who are saved, but he's also prepared a place for those who aren't. Now you say, Pastor, you're trying to scare me. I wish I could. It scared me. I started having nightmares. I'd wake up in the night, Brother Skeet, sweating, cold sweat, hollering, crying. Got where I couldn't sleep. I'd get me a six-pack of Miller High Life. And I worked third shift 7 days a week down at the mill. And I'd come home early in the morning on Sunday morning. My wife, kids still be in the bed. And I'd have to drink six of those things to get sleepy enough to go to sleep. Because of so much conviction. And regret and guilt. And then I found out they had preaching on Sunday mornings on television. The old Harrington, old chaplain of Bourbon Street. He'd come on there and boy, I'd turn that TV on where couldn't nobody hear it, and I'd get up real close to it and I'd drink that and I'd sit there and cry. And I'd say, I'm going to hell. My wife's not going to hell. My kid's not going to hell. I'm going to hell. My mama's not going to hell. I'm going to hell. And those preachers come on there. Oh, E.J. Daniels, that old famous Southern Baptist preacher. Don't come on. He's dead and gone now in heaven. But boy, he'd preach. And I'd sit there and cry. Because I knew. Now, if you're honest, you'd be the same way. You know there's two prepared places. God can't let everybody in heaven. There's some people, if they went to heaven, they'd turn it into hell. And it wouldn't take but one sin to head it that way. Amen? So God has another place prepared, and it's called hell. Well, I wouldn't want nobody to go to hell. I don't have anybody in this. There's some people don't like me. There's some I don't like. But I don't hate them. And I don't want them to go to hell. I don't want the worst Muslim to go to hell. That guy's chopping off those people's heads. I'd like to get the gospel to him, brother. Wouldn't it be something to get that man saved? The man has chopped off people's head, get him to Christ, and the next Sunday stand up with old King James Bible and start talking about the grace of God and the forgiveness of God and the goodness of God. Wouldn't that be something? And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Wouldn't that be something? I don't want anybody to go to hell. I've had people hurt me. Jesus said they hated me, they'll hate you. Jesus said, they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. He said, they kill me, they'll kill you. But he said, I come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Did you know if you die and go to that place that's prepared called hell, you're going to be out of place? Now, I told you everybody's name's in the book of life. Now, you got to get saved, get in the Lamb's book of life. But you were born, so that qualified you for the book of life. And there's a place prepared for everybody that's ever born in the book of life. He has to erase your name out of the book at the judgment in order for you not to go to heaven. And so that tells me that God really does, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. When you get to hell, there's really no place there for you. There's not. There's no mansions in hell. There's no streets of gold. There's no sea of glass. There's no heavenly choirs. There's no angels. There's no praising and glory and honor to God. It's a dark and fiery and ugly and nasty place. And all the nasty and dirty and mean and ugly of humanity populates hell. And none of them want to be there because that's not what God intended for them. They're out of place. The devil and the angels are there. They have a place. God prepared that place for them. But he don't have a place in hell for you. And if you go, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to go on purpose.
That's right. Yeah, come on. Yeah.
You won't accidentally or haphazardly wake up in hell or heaven.
Right.
You're going to have to make a decision. You got two choices. One place is already prepared for you, heaven. You can take it and be free. Or you can decide, I don't want that, and go to hell. Nobody else can do that. Did you know God doesn't have any grandchildren?
Right.
Only children. And you must be born again to be one of his children. And just because your mama got born again does not make you born again. And just because your daddy got born again does not make you born again. Jesus said to that religious man, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. And I'll tell you today, unless you want to go to that other prepared place that nobody really wants to go, and I don't care what anybody says, we used to lie about it and say when we die, we're all going to hell, we're going to party with the rock singers and all that. Well, let me tell you what's going on in hell right now. That guy from AC/DC screaming that you get off the highway to hell. There's no parties there. There's no celebrating there. The Bible says there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And their worm dieth not. That's your inner man. And the fire is not quenched. It'll never get any cooler. Now we're about to eat a prepared meal, and it didn't happen accidentally. And there's a prepared book. What an accident. And God prepared his son. That wasn't an accident. And God's prepared a city for you. That's no accident. But if you don't want to go, there's a place for the wicked. And that's not an accident. You'll go on purpose. What am I going to do, preacher? Amos 4:12. Amos the prophet said, prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet thy God. Now, if you meet God unprepared, you're going to be in trouble.
Amen.
He's going to look at you and say, I sent my son. What'd you do with him? And you're going to say, well, I didn't do anything with him. He'll say, cast him in the outer darkness. I never knew you. There's no accidents. It's heaven or hell. And it's your choice. And it's already prepared. I took my mama, thinking she was going to die, about 15 years ago to the funeral home. She wanted to pre-plan her funeral, which is not a bad idea. She went ahead and signed over insurance to them. She picked the man, her picked out her casket. Now you think something hard, go with your mama to pick out a casket. And we planned the service. We went ahead and planned it. And it's pre-planned, pre-paid, prepared. Now, it was hard, but I thank God that when she does take that last breath, I don't have to go to the funeral home and do that by myself. It's done.
Amen.
I'm glad we did that preparation. And then on the other hand, she's prepared to go to heaven. She's accepted Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. Now let me ask you something. If you died today, right now, are you prepared? Are you prepared? Don't want to talk about it. They don't call them hospitals anymore. They call them medical centers. They don't call them funeral homes anymore. They call them mortuaries. They don't call them graveyards anymore. They call them gardens. Because nobody wants to talk about it. But if you die, you're going to wish you were prepared. Boy, I'm prepared. March 5th, 1978. Eastside Baptist Church, North Jones Avenue. I was about the sixth pew over here on the left-hand side. And that preacher got to preaching. He got to crying about people going to hell. And boy, God come down on me and I couldn't breathe. And my heart was pounding, Brother Skeet. And I was crying. And I said, man, don't cry. What am I doing crying? And I was crying. I was shaking. And then it went on and on and on and on. And about the 300th verse of Just As I Am without one plea. At least that's the way I felt. I said, God, this is the truth. Only real prayer I ever prayed in my life before that. I said, God, if you help me move this foot, I'll go down there. I'm a coward. And I found myself running down that aisle. And as I was going down that aisle, the burdens was being lifted and the guilt was being lifted and the joy was coming in. I didn't even know what was happening to me. And I went up there and I grabbed an old fat preacher. I said, preacher, I got to get saved. He said, he desires to save you. Took me in a little room. They read me some scriptures. The man said, if you'll ask him, he'll save you. I didn't know it. He'd already saved me. Because you see, it was in my heart. I'd already repented. I'd already believed on him coming down that aisle. And I thought, if I die and go to hell, I got to trust him. I can't go to heaven without him. I've got to be saved. And he read me a verse. And then he said, can you pray? I said, I ain't never prayed in my life. He said, if I help you, will you pray? I said, I'll do whatever it takes. If he'd have read me out of the Bible, you got to stand on your head and whistle Dixie backwards, I'd have done it. Amen. And he said, dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And I was crying. I said, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. He said, but I don't want to go to hell. I said, I don't want to go to hell. God, don't let me go to hell. He said, but I believe Jesus died for my sins. I said, I believe he died for my sins. He said, the best way I know how, I'm asking you to save me, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart. Give me eternal life. And I prayed that. And immediately I had the assurance from God. I had it. Preacher told me, don't depend on your feelings. They're going to be gone tomorrow. What did the Bible say? I said, the Bible said if I ask him, he'd save me. He said, what does that make you? I said, that makes me saved. 1 John 5 says, this is written so you may know that you have eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. There's your choice. There's your preparation. What are you going to do with it? Some of you Christians, you have forgotten where he brought you from.
Amen.
And everything you've had since he saved you, he's prepared it for you and give it to you. Before you ever, and you never give that thought. Well, I'm my own man. Then you're a fool. There's no such thing as being your own man. And some of you Christians, listen, he saved you. He's prepared a place for you. And you seem to have forgotten that. But I've got news for you. Thank God it's up to him and not you.
Amen.
He'll keep you and present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. And then some of you, you're sitting here looking at me like, that guy's a nut. I'm ready to eat. I don't know what he's talking about. He's crazy. He's lost his mind. Some of these people's in here is crazy. And then some of you, nervous as a long-tailed cat in a rocking chair factory, because you know what I'm saying is the truth. You know what you need to do? Get prepared.
Amen.
Some of you Christians need to get prepared. You ain't going to live forever. You need to get some things straightened out between you and God. You might be going to heaven, but there's rewards there, and you might be losing, son, if you ain't prepared. And then listen, if you're not saved today, He wants to save you. He desires to save you. Please don't go to hell. I don't want you to go to hell. Nobody in this church wants you to go to hell. God doesn't want you to go to hell. The Holy Ghost doesn't want you to go to hell. The angels in heaven don't want you to go to hell. Did you know the devils in hell don't want you to go to hell? They really don't. Let me tell you something. If you go to hell today, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to walk over that book and say, God's a lie. That's not true. And you're going to have to trample under the blood of Jesus Christ that He shed on Calvary's cross to save you. It's hard to go to hell. It really is. Now that you know this, are you prepared? Let's stand. Father, help us today.